Turn to Isaiah. Before you are seated, just let's read the word standing up here. Isaiah 48. Our first subject is for the message, the Trinity. The Father, Son, Holy Spirit. How many gods do we have?
One
God. How many persons?
Three.
Three. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Are we in a family? We are in a family. Read Isaiah 48 and verse 16 and 17. This is beautiful. Ready? All right, we got to get it up on the screen. Here we go. Come near unto me. Read it out loud. Come near unto me. Hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I. Who are you? There am I from the beginning. And I haven't spoken to you in secret, right? From the beginning. There am I. I wonder who it is. He said, there am I. It's God, but is it Christ? Is it the Father? Look at verse 16. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. So who is it? There am I, Jesus Christ. Now the Lord God, my Father, and his Spirit has sent me. Huh? Isn't that beautiful? Verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. Who's the Redeemer?
Jesus,
the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God. What? Jesus, the Redeemer, is the Lord thy God, which teaches you to profit. What's the word profit mean? You have abundance. You have blessing. You benefit. You are not destroyed. You are lifted up. You are not hurt. You are healed. You're not shamed. You are vindicated. You are forgiven. I am your Redeemer who teaches you to profit. Last part, which leads you by the way that you should go. Do you know how you should go? He leads us in the way that we should go. Okay? All right, you may be seated. One subpoint is in Luke 11. Turn to Luke 11, because these subpoints help us during the message. Such an honor. I got to tell you, it's such an honor to be here every time. I wonder how many messages God has for me or how many left in my life. You know, I wonder how many. Somebody said a lot. Thank you. That means a lot. Thank you so much. I need that. No, they are limited, right? All of us. I wonder how many days we have to live. I wonder how many more summers and winters and Christmases and Thanksgivings. Every one of these is a gift. Thank you, Lord, that we're alive today and that we're here. Wow. Thank you, God. It's a gift. You know, I enjoy it when you guys are talking to each other and all that. You know, maybe you don't like it all the time, but yeah, maybe it's artificial or something, but I get used to it because we're going to just keep doing it. And I don't know, it's just fun. We are born again. We are born of the Spirit of God. And people, not everybody is. And Jesus is speaking to a group of people here in Luke 11, and he, verse 39, he said to this Pharisee, "Now do you Pharisees make clean the outside of the cup and the platter, but your inward part is full of ravening and wickedness?" So we have the outside and the inside. You know, like a pot all clean on the outside, but inside it's filled with bacteria, not been clean in a week. Two, it's filled with, you know, it has a foul odor, but on the outside is sparkling and shiny. And he said this about these people. And then he said, verse 40, "You fools, did not he that make that which is without make that which is within also?" They were not paying attention to what was inside. And what is on the inside of a person? The heart. The heart. The thoughts in the inside. You, on the outside, behavior, your behavior is perfect. Your behavior, how you wash your hands, your clothes, where you go, everybody looking at you on the outside looks perfect. But inside, it's a different story. Yeah. Have you ever sinned and felt very guilty? Yeah, I have sinned and felt very guilty. And I realized, like, that guilt, God made it. We live in a culture where they say, you know, guilt is bad. You know, you shouldn't feel guilty. You should not feel guilt. That's not right. You are a great person and so on, you know. But I know what guilt is. I know what that is. And that's good for me. God made it. He made the outside, our ears, our hair, our nose, our teeth. You know, the outside parts of our lives, he made that. But then he also made fear. Fear is in us. And also shame, embarrassment. Also, intellect and emotions. Isn't it fun to see happy kids? When you have a group of happy kids having a party or having a good time, and they're laughing and talking and blowing balloons up and having a birthday cake, and you just say, "Wow, God made the world beautiful on the outside and on the inside. We are beautiful, beautifully, wonderfully, and fearfully made." Psalm 139. So let's now go to the first family. And this is in Genesis chapter 4. The first family. Verse 1. Adam knew Eve, his wife. And she conceived and bare Cain and said, "I've gotten a man from the Lord." She actually thought maybe he was the Messiah. "I have gotten," because the seed of the woman would crush the seed of the serpent. But her disappointment became obvious when he murdered his brother Abel. Instead of being a savior, he became a murderer. Exactly the opposite of what she was hoping for. Let's say our first family, our natural family, is simply a family of sinful people, because it is. Adam and Eve hid from God. Adam and Eve had children, Abel and Cain. Would have been a beautiful family, except of the sin nature that's in our hearts. And inside Cain, what was it when he was jealous of his brother or hated his brother? Isn't it terrible that in our family we could have so much disruption and so much disappointment? We all know it. We read it in the paper. We live it in our own lives, depending on your family. But even the best family has some worm eating inside the heart of somebody. I'm joking now. We all have a weird uncle. I'm joking. We all have something that we're ashamed of or afraid of in our personal life and also in family life. I don't like to speak down about family because all of our ministry is for building up and encouraging us in our families, our earthly one also, that needs love and forgiveness and ministry. If it wasn't true, Jesus would not have come and have said, I am the Redeemer. I'm sorry we lost the verses, but we could put them up there. I am your Redeemer. I have spoken from the beginning, and that God sent me and the Holy Spirit sent me so that you could benefit and that you would know the way to go, Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. But the first family, Adam and Eve, and what happened there is also for our encouragement and our understanding. And when Jesus was standing in the midst of the people, actually, they were seated around him. There might have been a big group, maybe 100 or 70, or I don't know the number. But then his family is on the outside, just standing there, and they said, your family is here. Your family is here. And we could say, he said like this, I am here. Because there's another family. And the Trinity, my Father sent me. The Holy Spirit sent me. Because we are love. God from eternity past has always existed, and he is love and truth. Wow. When we are born again, and this is very important, that our first birth is natural, and that when we are born again, the Spirit of God comes in us, being born not of the flesh, but born of the Spirit, in John 1:12. Called by God's name. So, God the Father is our Father. And the Son of God came so that we would be born of God with a new nature, not a sin nature, but the nature of Christ. And the nature of Christ means that we cry, Abba, Father, We are worshipers of God, and we say to God in our hearts, you do not condemn me, but you are for me and not against me. So turn now to John chapter 4, please. Yeah, just I am distracted by the sounds there. Thank you. And I love it when people are making noise, but I can't right now handle that. So John chapter 4. There was a man who had a sick son. He came to Jesus. His son was home dying. Verse 46. Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. And Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down before my child die. But Jesus said unto him, go your way, your son liveth. The man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. You know, when I have a son dying, and I believe in Jesus, I can go find Jesus. And when I meet Jesus, my heart is open to him. Whatever he says, I want to believe what he says. And when he said, go, your son liveth, that was enough. It was only his word that was enough for me. I could hear him and believe him, though I cannot see him heal my son, but I believe him. Because in this family, God looks at the heart, and God knows what is on the inside. In this family, it's just like coming to the dinner table in our earthly family, where mom and dad know what is going on in our children's hearts. What's happening in the heart. Well, even more so when we are walking with God, he searches our hearts. And he knows the way that I take in Job 23. What are the things that characterize our new family? But it's our new birth and our cry, Abba, Father. It's our openness and transparency where he could offend me, but actually the offense is not too great because I'm drawn to him. Even if the truth offends me, my relationship is more important to me than my feelings, even my tribulations and my trouble that I have in life. For sometimes, people, their world is on the outside. It's eternal. I mean, external. It's external. Their world they live in is external. And God is saying, I made the inside too. And where you are living on the inside is where I live. I live on the inside. And this is where you profit, you benefit from me. Because when I give you liberty, it's internal. I remember being in the communist countries through the years, And when the people found internal freedom, you couldn't stop it. They would gather. They would speak often. They would have prayer meetings. Undercover in the night, we traveled at night in Estonia to an underground prayer meeting. And as you entered into that house where the government was not officially sanctioning the meeting, but they ran the risk because the relationship in this family is an internal one, inside, in the spirit, and in faith. It says in Hebrews 11 that Moses, when he came of age, he did not fear the king, and nor did he esteem the riches of Egypt greater than what he was sensing in his internal man. I have found treasure. I have found treasure in this family. The Trinity is a family. The Father would never hurt the Son ultimately, because truth doesn't hurt. I mean, the Son would always love the Father, even if he was here crucified on a cross. His family would be together, and nothing could separate that love, because the love cannot fail. That's like in the body of Christ. When we are born of the Spirit, we have this loyalty, this faith, this courage, this internal nature called Christ. We are born of the Spirit. And when the man said, you know, my son is dying, I must go. And it says, like, he traveled part of the night. The next day, he met him at 1 p.m. He met Jesus. And he said, my son is dying. Come and heal him. Jesus said, he lives. You know, that's it. And the man believed. And he didn't see it. But he believed. And he turned and he traveled. Again, the same way. I mean, the same distance. He went back home. And when he got there, the servants ran out to meet him, and he said, when did it happen? They said, the same time yesterday. It was 1 o'clock yesterday. But that man was in the family, you know, in the family. The eyes of God go everywhere, and he beholds the good and the evil in Proverbs 15, verse 3. We're not hiding. We're open. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharp, discerning, penetrating soul and spirit, discerner of the thoughts and intentions of our hearts. You know how it is when you're caught in by your family, your earthly family catches you in lying, or catches you in something, and you are able to say, yes, Dad, I lied. Yes. Forgive me, sorry, yes. That's openness and transparency. Well, we should do that with each other, but we should definitely be doing this with God. Because God sees and knows. And in his family is the blood of Jesus that takes our sin away. In this family is the Spirit of God that searches the inside. In the family is the Word of truth that is able to build us up in the inner man. That's why the disciples, when Jesus told them at the Last Supper, I'm going away, and they got troubled by it. No, where are you going? No, we will go with you. I love that thought. We will go with you. Why do you want to go with me? Because you speak to us. Because you are amazing. Because you're my best friend. Because you tell me the truth. Because you are the Christ. Because you are God. You are the one sent so I can benefit. You are You are what I want. You are the family that I'm looking for. And Jesus would say, I will send another. And he is just like me. That he's like me. Did you hear that? That the Holy Spirit has been sent into this world, and we are the people of the Holy Spirit, and we know him, because when we have the Spirit, he reveals to us who he is. We can feel him. That's called the anointing. We can discern him. That's the Spirit. We have his thoughts. That's the Bible. We have each other. That's the body. We have our purpose, our mission that he sent us on. And many times when you live in your mission, when you're on in your family sent in this world on our mission, we find his grace and the family and the comfort. We find the freedom and the openness in our own person. I read a few chapters recently about Abraham Lincoln. I'm reading a big, thick book about Lincoln by Carl Sandburg. And I love reading about him and the history in those years. And I love this thing about Lincoln because he's so humble, but he's also so wise. And that some people in his cabinet think he's like a goofball. Because, you know, and then one of them is thinking of running for president in the second term. And you know, there's a lot of pride and ego in these men. And they are gifted and capable men that are in his cabinet. But at the same time, they underestimate him. There's something about him. He's like, he's not that important in his own eyes. He just wants to win the war and lead the country in the right direction. And these little colloquialisms and little countryisms and these little stories that he tells and all that, it's kind of fascinating. But I say that to say that you could be in a great position of power, but your greatest asset is to be in God's family. You could be a very gifted and capable person, but that'll never make it. You might end up killing your brother. What you need is something great that only the family of God gives you. It's his wisdom, his love, his kindness, his tenderness. We said recently, hardest thing to do is raise a family. One of the hardest things I've ever done, and I give my wife a lot of credit for having done this. We have four children, raise our family, and I could say, I don't think we could have ever done it without God's family. God's family. Who is my mother and my father, my brother, not my, he's my mother and my brothers and my sisters. Who are they? They that hear the word of God and they do it. They hear it and it goes in them and they want to do it. They have the desire for it. I want to forgive. I want to meet Jesus. Where is Jesus? My son is dying. Where is Jesus? My son is dying. My son will be dead in 24 hours. I got to go find him. I go find him. And this man is something like this, like he's like an open thing before Jesus. He's saying, come and heal my son. And Jesus said, this thing about, you know, you won't believe until you see a sign, and that evil generation seeks a sign. And the man is like thinking, I don't know what you're talking about. I just need my son healed. And Jesus said, go, he lives. And the man, like, this kind of spirit of like saying, I am afraid, but I'm in your family. Maybe you would be ashamed of me. You could be ashamed of me because I'm a shameful person, but I'm in your family, And it says in Hebrews chapter 2, he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Are you not ashamed of me, God? No. You are my glory. I am honored. I love you. I died for you because you are so valuable. I am on your side. Your name is in my book. I sent the Spirit into the world for you. I want you to profit. Wow. Now the last part, 1 Kings 14, please. And this is the hiding part that unfortunately happens. 1 Kings 14. Verse 1. At that time, Abijah, the son of Jeroboam, fell sick. And Jeroboam, he's the king in the north, said to his wife, "Arise, I pray thee, disguise yourself, that you be not known to be the wife of Jeroboam, and get thee to Shiloh. Behold, there is Ahijah the prophet, which told me that I should be king over this people." I know there is a man of God down there in Judah. His name is Ahijah. And he prophesied that I would be the king up here in the north. And so disguise yourself, because I'd be embarrassed for him to know that I'm sending my wife down there to ask him if my son will live. So she disguised herself and went to meet the prophet. In verse 4, went to Shiloh, came to the house of Ahijah. But Ahijah could not see. His eyes were set by reason of his age. But even though I might look like a goofball, I might know more than you do. That's the idea here. I might be blind, but I can see. It might be Abraham Lincoln looks like he doesn't know what he's doing, but he knows exactly what he's doing. It might be I'm ashamed, but I'm in the family, and it might be that you don't know what my family will do. You don't know what my father will do. You don't know what my Savior will do. You don't know what the Holy Spirit will do. Oh, we should be very strong in our family in Christ. I'm not here to judge you. We are here to love each other, because Jesus said, "I didn't come to judge. I came to save. I didn't come to accuse you to my Father. I came to take your sin and take it away, and that you would be free." How much more should we as sisters and brothers be in the family, not accusing, but edifying? How much more we as sisters and brothers should have the Spirit of Christ in us, loving each other, encouraging each other, edifying each other, and praying for each other. Yes, because grace is able to build us up. Grace is able to change our lives. But in this story, this woman is not, she's not right. She's hiding, you know, something like this. This woman is coming with a disguise. You know, she's not the king's wife. That would be embarrassing. The king's wife would go ask the prophet down in Judah. But the prophet sees through her disguise and says, basically, in a word, I have a bad message for you. Could we say that when we hide, there's a bad message? Could we say that when we're not honest with God, God will not be honest with us? Could we say that when we are playing a game like Halloween costume, God is able to see through the costume and say, "Not good, not good. It's not good. You're in my family. You sit at my table." And it's a different kind of family. We don't play games in this family. We are honest about our sin, and we confess it. I have sinned, and he takes it away. I am for you, and we receive it. I am not against you. I have promises for you. So that's the theme. Look at verse 6 with me. It says, and it was so when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came in at the door, that he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam. I know who you are. I am a blind man, but I can see. Why do you pretend to be another? I am sent to you with heavy tidings. You will not prosper. Your son will die. I wish you had come to me like that nobleman had come to Jesus. I wish you'd been open about it. I wish you'd humbled yourself before me, God could say. I wish you'd just be open with who you are. I don't hide anything. Just be open with who you are. I'm your father. I made you. I made the outside and I made the inside. And I know what's going on inside you. And be open with me and become a worshiper. And my spirit will fill you. Lose your life and you will find it. Take up the cross and deny yourself and your self-life, and you'll find yourself spirit-filled in a new family. Because this family is an eternal family. It says in Ephesians 3, it says that we would live by faith and we would find Christ inside. Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's what we have to look forward to. You know, as we finish here, we're coming into the holidays. It's a time when our families come together, if we have one. If you don't have one, you have one, the most important one. John Piper wrote a book called This Momentary Marriage, and he said that marriage is only for this life, and that we should realize we can keep it together and work on it, and it's an important part of life. But actually, it's also momentary, and that there is something even greater that we should be seeing and understanding about our life. And that is our Father is for us and not against us. And that the Spirit has made us a part of His family. And that in that family, we have each other. We are brothers and sisters. We learn to love and forgive and edify and pray and believe and encourage and live in our mission as people in His family. You know, in Galatians chapter 5, it says, He sent the Spirit into us to cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Abba, Father. The Trinity is a family. And that family has put us in that family. We are, He's the firstborn from the dead, and He has made us brethren, sisters and brothers in that family. Let's live in it, walk in it, reveal it, manifest it, be filled with the Spirit by it. When that is happening, then my earthly family, it is what it is. And it's not perfect. We read that in the Bible. On the other hand, a little bit of heaven, I may be able to bring a little bit of heaven into my earthly family. I'm able to say prayers for them and to love them and reach out to them. Some of them may not be in the same place. They may not be, but it is what it is. We all kind of understand this. But what I'm saying today is that this family of God is of incredible value and importance to us. And we pay attention to it. It will empower us. We will benefit from it. And we'll not be ashamed one day when we leave our body and we are going to be with God. We'll leave our body and we'll be there and we'll say, oh, I know this family. I walked with this family on the earth. I know who Abraham and Isaac and Jacob are. I know who Joseph is and Solomon and David. I know who Isaiah and Jeremiah and Malachi are. I know who John the Baptist is, and Timothy and Paul, and the saints of God down through the ages. We are in a huge family, a family of God. And in that family, it's different. It's not murder and hatred and hiding and shame and disguises and covering up and all of that. No, it's freedom, openness, purity, holiness, truth, edification, encouragement. It's God, God in our presence. That's what it is. It is. Yeah. Amen. Would you pray with me, please? Father, we thank you today. We have sisters and brothers in China. We have sisters and brothers in India. We have sisters and brothers in parts of the world. We have sisters and brothers in heaven waiting for us. We are the bride of Christ. We're going to be in a city whose builder and maker is God, with gates and foundations. We are in a family. We're an amazing family made by God in his wisdom, foreknown us, chosen us, elected us, decided upon us, and accepted us in his beloved. And he wrote it in the Bible. It's written there. Now we are members of that body and in that family. May we understand it, grow in it, put a high priority on it, not live in our excuses, our pain, our trouble, our discouragement, our sin nature, not be hiding from the Almighty God, but to make every effort to be before him, not in a disguise, but naked and open unto him with whom we have to do, and exposed to the truth and built up in the family. If you are here and you've not accepted Jesus, would you do it today? Would you say to Jesus, I accept you. I believe in you. I accept you. Please forgive me. Put my name in your book. Save me. Thank you, God. Thank you in Jesus' name. Anyone saying that prayer, would you raise your hand today? Say yes to Jesus. Anybody at all? Yes to Jesus. Thank you. There's a hand over there. God bless you. You are born of God, born of the Spirit. There's a hand over here. Thank you. There's a hand over there too, Betty. Thank you. God bless you. Wow, beautiful. In the family. In the family. In the family. Thank you, God. In the family. Thank you, God. In the family. Father, please add to your family as we labor on the earth in faith. Many of your servants here working and living in faith, we thank you in your name. Bless this day, this afternoon, the evening service. Bless and bring people out. The Thanksgiving holiday, our neighbors and others, to bring them into the house of God, to see them be born again, born of the Spirit. Lead us in faith. This happens by faith, we pray in your name. Yes. Amen. I could ask the pastors just to come down front here. Just pastors come on down. There might be people amongst us that want a special prayer. Come on down. There we go, Pastor Eugene. Some of the others come on down front as we close. If you have a prayer request, you need a prayer of some kind, a touch, these men will pray for you and love you up and encourage you. All right, would you stand with me, please? Father, dismiss us, we pray in your name. Thank you. Thank you, God. We have two families. The one we came in naturally, and then when we are born again, we are born into your family, and you are our Father. And you will care for us always. Never leave us, never forsake us. Always love us. Always forgive us. Thank you, God. Bless our day today and our week. In Jesus' name. Give us here Wednesday night a beautiful service. Wednesday night, God. In Jesus' name. Amen.